Let's have our next scripture passage, this one from Exodus. Chapter 35, verse 30 through chapter 36, verse 7. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahimaazach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet, yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded." Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen were doing all the work on the sanctuary, left their work, and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all of the work. Let us pray. O Lord, who gives us what we need by your grace to do the work you called us to do, we pray now especially for our brother in Christ, Tom Merchant, and his family and their ministry there in Ukraine, that you guide them and provide for them. Thank you for what they're doing in the midst of warfare and conflict to build your church still. Help us to be faithful in letting you build your church here in this congregation here today. Of all the things that we bring to you here and offer to you now, especially in these moments, we offer you, O Lord, our attentiveness and our focus and our openness to what you want to say to us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the foundation, and pray through him. Just heard that scripture passage from Exodus, and it reminds us that if you want to come into this scripture text today, that you need to bring a hard hat with you, and you'll feel like you're standing in the middle of a dream in one sense. After all, you may have gotten the sense from listening to that passage read that God's people in this situation have more than enough to do what God has told him to do. There's no shortage of money. Moses isn't having to pass the plate one more time to try to get some more income for the sanctuary project. There's no shortage of building materials. You won't see God's people scraping around in their garages trying to find just one more thing that they could contribute to this enterprise. There's no shortage of skilled labor. You won't find any workers who've been assigned tasks that they aren't really equipped and prepared to carry out. In this case, everything and really everyone needed to accomplish the project is there and more. There's a surplus of things. This is sort of every church member's and every pastor's dream in one sense. That word surplus, it's not often one that we get to use a lot in the life of the church. It seems like we're regularly struggling with or seeking to deal with some kind of lack. Maybe it feels like a lack of volunteers or a lack of time or a lack of commitment or a lack of experience or a lack of leadership. On the list could go. It's as if sometimes we get accustomed to living in a state of lack in the life of a congregation. Scarcity seems to meet us at every turn, and we end up spending lots of our time and energy figuring out how to sort of navigate our shortfalls day by day or week by week or month by month or year by year. Think about it in one respect. When was the last time you heard a worship leader announce that, well, we're not going to have today's offering because the church already has enough money in the bank, so don't worry about that today? Or when was the last time that someone from the nominating committee turns you away saying, no, every place of service in the church is filled, overfilled, so we don't have any opportunities in any committees right now? Or when was the last time an usher had you wait out in the sanctuary while they came in and checked to see if there's a seat for you somewhere in the packed sanctuary? When was the last time? It's no wonder that empty can be a bad word in the life of the church. We don't and shouldn't necessarily like empty. Empty pews or empty parking spaces or empty offering plates or empty baptistry or empty spots on the church calendar or empty classrooms, empty lines on committee lists. Wherever there's emptiness in the life of the church, we usually try to fill it. And especially during the last couple of years, during the ongoing pandemic, there are parts of our facility here that have sat idle, sat empty as we waited for them to be reactivated and utilized for God's kingdom purposes in some way or another. Now go back to our scripture passage with me here today. Clearly, emptiness wasn't a problem in this particular case. Instead of having too little, they actually had too much. Too much money, too many building materials, too many skilled workers. Resources were flooding in from all directions to accomplish this tabernacle project. Remember that the tabernacle, also called the tent of meeting, was sort of a portable sanctuary or portable house of worship that the Israelites took with them as they journeyed in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. But during the construction phase of it, it wasn't just about Moses. Moses would have been helpless, would have been lost really without Bezalel, whom we meet in our scripture passage today. He's really the chief architect. He's the one who designed and oversaw the project of the tabernacle. Bezalel's chief assistant, we meet him as well. He's Oholiab, a skilled person in crafts, in design, embroidery. And together, Bezalel and Oholiab make quite a team. They're not just good at what they do, they're good at communicating what they do, and they're good at training and supervising others who have resources and skills to do things as well. But Bezalel and Oholiab and those who worked under them could really only work with what they were given. And in this case, they were given a lot. Our text tells us the people of God were the primary source of supplies. Some gave their money, some gave their jewelry, some gave other kinds of precious metals and stones, some gave much needed wood, some gave fabrics and fine linens, some gave oil and incense, some gave of the skill of their hands. As it says in one of our verses, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do. So God laid out the project, and God's people stepped up big time. A Christian leader named Gordon MacDonald tells about an experience that he and his wife had that reshaped his understanding of many things, especially of giving. It began when he and his wife Gail went on a mission trip, and the first Sunday they were there, they started gathering with the other believers in that community. These were desperately poor Christians, and as they neared the church, Gordon and his wife Gail noticed that almost every person was carrying something. Some of them were carrying cages of noisy chickens. Some of them were carrying other things like baskets of yams, or maybe they toted bags of eggs. Some of them were carrying bowls of cassava paste. And so Gordon asked one of the hosts, why are they bringing all this stuff with them to church, to worship? And he said, well, hold on, just wait, and you'll soon see. And it wasn't long after the worship service began that the moment came when everybody stood up and they poured into the aisles and they started to head down toward the front with whatever they had to put it up at a space there at the front. That's when the light bulb finally came on for Gordon and Gail. Oh, this was the offering time in the worship service. This is when they presented their gifts to the Lord. The chickens could help others start a tiny farm business. The eggs, the yams could be sold in the marketplace to help the needy. The cassava paste could be used to help feed someone who didn't have much and was hungry. All these gifts were useful and glorifying to God in some way. McDonald said, I was captivated. I'd never seen a joyful offering before. Obviously, my keep money under the radar policy wouldn't have worked in that church. These believers, though they didn't know it, he said, had moved me. I began to understand that giving, whether it's yams or dollars, is not an optional thing for followers of Christ. It's actually an indication of the direction of your whole life as a follower of Christ. It's an indication of the tenor of your whole life of following Jesus Christ, the nature of your giving. Now, in many ways, the Christian life as a whole is an act of giving, of presenting our lives as an offering to God in response to His goodness and mercy toward us in Jesus Christ, of making our lives an offering to God as a grateful response for what He's done for us through Jesus Christ. We present ourselves, all that we are, and all that we have to the Lord who has come to us in Christ and rescued us from sin and death and given us a new hope and destiny in Jesus Christ, has made us as His people His dwelling place where His glory abides. Go back to what Gordon MacDonald was saying and pointing out where he says that giving in all its forms is a key indicator of the course and content of our lives. In other words, you can tell a lot about us by how we give, the giving that goes on in our lives in the church. Notice that the Israelites in today's text, they didn't give based on what was prudent or reasonable. Their offerings weren't calculated or cautious. Rather, like those people in Gordon MacDonald's experience, when God laid out the project, God's people poured into the aisles with gladness and joy and generosity with their gifts of all sorts. What better way, they thought, to respond to this God who has so graciously come to us and has sought us, His stiff-necked people, has still sought us out in mercy and everlasting love to redeem us. What better way to respond than offering ourselves and all that we are in gladness and gratitude? And really, so it should be with other construction projects, including this construction project that we call Grace Baptist Church, a life of God's people. All kinds of resources are needed for this building program. There's room for a whole range of offerings from all of you. This isn't just a clergy project. It isn't just a leader of the church project. Go back to our text. Just as Moses needed Bezalel, Moses needed Bezalel, Bezalel needed Oholiab, and they in turn needed all the resources, the skilled hands of the people of God. So God calls, really, and commands each of us to step out and step forward with the gifts that God has entrusted to us. And those can come in various forms. Gifts of time, gifts of commitment, gifts of vision, gifts of experience, gifts of occupation, gifts of talent, gifts of skill, gifts of money, gifts of energy, gifts of devotion, all these kinds of gifts. And these gifts can cover a whole range of specialties and skills. Maybe it's gifts in administration and finance, gifts in hospitality, gifts in organizing people, gifts in teaching, gifts in science and technology, gifts in architecture or engineering or design, facilities, gifts in art, gifts in music, gifts in prayer and worship, gifts in serving and caring. When you think about it, our congregation, like every congregation, is largely a collection of individual offerings that the people of God bring in various forms together for God's redeeming project in our lives and in the world. And the Lord takes our offerings, whatever forms they come, He takes these offerings and uses them to build His church, so that we together, with all those everywhere who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, become a dwelling place for the presence of God and the glory of God. As we give ourselves to the Lord, we ourselves really become the building material, the resources that God uses to erect this community of people where He takes up residence and makes His glory known to the world. As Paul says in Ephesians, in Him, that is Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him too, you are being built, he says. You are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That's true. God isn't confined just to the church, but God has chosen to dwell in the world, in the church in the world, in a unique way among His people in Christ. Part of what this means that as God's people in Christ, we're constantly under construction. As individual believers, in our life together as a congregation, we're constantly under construction. There's a preacher who tells about a time when he was invited to preach at Winchester Cathedral in England. He'd been there several years before, and at that time they had scaffolding all over the west front of the cathedral in a renovation project that was underway. So now they had invited him back to preach at the occasion celebrating the completion of the renovation on the west front. He got there and he noticed that now there was scaffolding on the south front. So he asked one of the leaders there in the congregation, "What's all this? I thought the project was done." And the leader there in the congregation said, "A cathedral's work is never done. We just keep permanent scaffolding all the time. We just move it from side to side in the church as work is needed. Ongoing." A church is always a work in progress. And that's true not just for the community of people who comprise the congregation. It's also true for the building, the facility itself where we gather to learn, to worship, to fellowship, and to serve. Our life and mission as Grace Baptist Church, we need to remember, is deeply connected to this building, this facility where we come together to worship and to learn, to fellowship and to serve with one another. During COVID-19, over the past couple of years, I think that our experience has given us maybe new perspective on the role and place of a building, a facility in the life of a congregation and its mission. Think back a couple of years ago to when things were just unfolding and we had to close and couldn't gather for worship here in this place, to be with each other face to face. Yet, as one person and many others have said, at that time the building was closed, but the church was still open. But the building was still part of who we were and who we are. So we have that perspective from being able to look back over the past couple of years at our experience. And now, almost 2 years later, as we see some positive signs of further progress out of the pandemic, I think we're thinking once again more and planning more about the role that our building has played and the role that our building's going to play in our life and in our ministry as a congregation. A couple of Sundays ago, I spoke about pews you're sitting in that have been repaired and reinforced to make your worship safe this morning. Renovations and refreshment that's going on in our church nursery and some other classrooms. Being able to reopen classrooms for children's Sunday school, children's church, the use of our fellowship hall for Sunday school, all these kinds of things that we could easily take for granted but are part of the life and ministry of our congregation, how God is working to keep building us and renovating us and renewing us. And not only how these kinds of things going on in our church building can be used to build us up as the people in the church, but especially how can we take what God has given us here in this congregation in terms of building and facility and use it to be a blessing to the community beyond the walls of the church. That's part of where we keep our focus and our attention and our seeking as well. So what I'd ask of you today is to continue to join us, especially continue to join our church council as we prayerfully seek God's direction and discern God's way and will for how we can not only take ourselves as the people of the church and offer ourselves to God, but take this place that God has given us and has used so wonderfully and blessed so wonderfully over the years here in this community to bless children and families and lives and to bring the gospel to others over these years, to think about now, how can we take what God has given us here in this place and make it an offering, give it to God so He can continue to use it, not only to build us up in Christ, to form this church, but to bless the community where He's placed us. Let's seek the Lord in prayer about that. Let us pray. God, we thank You for Your church, for how You're still working on us individually and together to form this congregation as a dwelling place for Your holiness and Your glory. We especially pray for Your guidance and direction as we continue to seek Your purpose and will for our building and the facilities You've entrusted to us. Show us how we can make this place an offering to You, to not only build us up, but to bless this part of the world where we are for the advancement of Your kingdom and the spread of the gospel. Help each of us now to bring ourselves to the project and offer ourselves to Your work here that You're doing in so many ways, in ways that will bring glory and praise to You. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. As we consider our scripture passage we heard today from Exodus, remember how people were coming to bring whatever God had entrusted to them, to God's work.